Petra was waiting in the corridor that led to the battle room. "Wait a minute," she said to Ender. "Rabbit Army just went in, and it takes a few minutes to change to the next battle room." Ender sat down beside her. "There's more to the battle room than just switching from one to the next," he said. "For instance, why is there gravity in the corridor outside the room just before we go in?" Petra closed her eyes. "And if the battle rooms are really free-floating, what happens when one is connected? Why doesn't it start to move with the rotation of the school?" Ender nodded. "These are the mysteries," she said in a deep whisper. "Do not pry into them. Terrible things happened to the last soldier who tried. He was discovered hanging by his feet from the ceiling of the bathroom, with his head stuffed in the toilet." Of course, she was joking, but the message was clear. "So I'm not the first person to ask the question. You remember this, little boy?" When she said little boy, it sounded friendly, not contemptuous. "They never tell you any more truth than they have to, but any kid with brains knows that there have been some changes in science since the days of old Maser Rackham and the victorious fleet. Obviously, we can now control gravity, turn it on and off, change the direction, maybe reflect it. I've thought of lots of neat things you could do with gravity weapons and gravity drives on starships, and think how starships could move near planets, maybe tear big chunks out of them by reflecting the planet's own gravity back on itself, only from another direction, and focus down to a smaller point. But they say nothing." Ender understood more than she said. Manipulation of gravity was one thing. Deception by the officers was another. But the most important message was this. The adults are the enemy, not the other armies. They do not tell us the truth. "Come, little boy," she said. "The battle room is ready. Petra's hands are steady. The enemy is deadly," she giggled. "Petra the poet, they call me. They also say you're crazy as a loon. Better believe it, baby, but..." She had 10 target balls in a bag. Ender held onto her suit with one hand and the wall with the other to steady her as she threw them hard in different directions. In the null gravity, they bounced every which way. "Let go of me," she said. She shoved off, spinning deliberately. With a few deft hand moves, she steadied herself and began aiming carefully at ball after ball. When she shot one, its glow changed from white to red. Ender knew that the color change lasted less than 2 minutes. Only one ball had changed back to white when she got the last one. She rebounded accurately from a wall and came at high speed back to Ender. He caught her and held her against her own rebound, one of the first techniques they had taught him as a launchee. "You're good," he said. "None better. And you're going to learn how to do it." Petra taught him to hold his arms straight, to aim with the whole arm. Something most soldiers don't realize is that the farther away your target is, the longer you have to hold the beam within about a 2-centimeter circle. It's the difference between a 10th of a second and a 0.5 seconds, but in battle that's a long time. A lot of soldiers think they missed when they're right on target, but they moved away too fast, so you can't use your gun like a sword. Swish, swish, slice them in half. You got to aim. She used the ball collar to bring the targets back, then launched them slowly, one by one. Ender fired at them. He missed every one. "Good," she said. "You don't have any bad habits." "I don't have any good ones either," he pointed out. "I give you those." They didn't accomplish much that first morning. Mostly talk. How to think while you were aiming. You've got to hold your own motion and your enemy's motion in your mind at the same time. You've got to hold your arm straight out and aim with your body, so in case your arm is frozen, you can still shoot. Learn where your trigger actually fires and ride the edge so you don't have to pull so far each time you fire. Relax your body. Don't tense up. It makes you tremble. It was the only practice Ender got that day. During the Army's drills in the afternoon, Ender was ordered to bring his desk and do his schoolwork, sitting in a corner of the room. Bonzo had to bring all his soldiers to the battle room, but he didn't have to use them. Ender did not do his schoolwork, however. If he couldn't drill as a soldier, he could study Bonzo as a tactician. Salamander Army was divided into the standard 4 tunes of 10 soldiers each. Some commanders set up their tunes so that A tune consisted of the best soldiers, and D tune had the worst. Bonzo had mixed them so that each consisted of good soldiers and weaker ones. Except that B-Toon had only 9 boys. Ender wondered who had been transferred to make room for him. It soon became plain that the leader of Toon B was new. No wonder Bonzo was so disgusted. He had lost a Toon leader to get Ender. And Bonzo was right about another thing. Ender was not ready. All the practice time was spent working on maneuvers. Toons that couldn't see each other practiced performing precision operations together with exact timing. Toons practiced using each other to make sudden changes of direction without losing formation. All these soldiers took for granted skills that Ender didn't have. The ability to make a soft landing and absorb most of the shock. Accurate flight. Course adjustments using the frozen soldiers floating randomly through the room. Rolls, spins, dodges. Sliding along the walls. A very difficult maneuver, and yet one of the most valuable since the enemy couldn't get behind you.